better, isn't it? So we're continuing our series on Romans now. And this is the last Romans talk. 30 seconds again, hallelujah for that. Hallelujah, this is our last one on the series of Romans. And then it's some Christmas meetings for the next 2 weeks, and then we're back doing some preaching, whatever the Holy Spirit gives us, for a while. So that's exciting. This is the last one we've been doing this series on Romans for a year. Amazing, we've managed to do it, praise the Lord. And I hope you've been blessed by the awesome teaching that Paul teaches in this letter to the Romans, and it's God-inspired word of God to us, and you've been blessed, as I know you will have been. But now we're looking at the last chapter, chapter 16. But let's pray before we do this. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're with us today. We thank you, Jesus, that you're our God. We thank you, Father, that you're our wonderful counselor. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, for the power that you want to bring to us this morning. We thank you that for the power that you bring to us through your word. We thank you, Lord, for your love. Would you be with us this morning, Holy Spirit, and teach us what you want us to know. Pray for every heart would be opened and free from distractions, Lord, to receive whatever you've got for each of us this morning. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Bless everyone here. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. Amen. So we're looking at Romans chapter 16, and I'm going to start from verse 17. This morning to the end. The first bit is just a bunch of greetings and greet this person, that person, and I can't pronounce half of the names, so I thought I'd skip it. So from verse 17 onwards, Romans chapter 16, verse 17, it says, I urge you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them. For such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. Everyone has heard about your obedience, so I am full of joy over you. But I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. Timothy, my fellow worker, sends his greetings to you, as do Lucius, Jason, and Sophister, my relatives. I, Tertius, who wrote down this letter, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, whose hospitality I and the whole church here enjoy, sends you his greetings. Erastus, who is the city's director of public works, and our brother Quartus, send you their greetings. Can't escape some greetings in there, can you? Now to him who is able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey him. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Interesting. The very last part of the letter, the very last bits of Paul's heart that he's pouring out into this letter to the Romans. It's quite important, isn't it, what that is? I mean, if you were going to write a letter to somebody and you deeply loved them, that person or those people, and you were writing a letter to them, I mean, I wonder what it would be in the last part of that letter that you would write to those people or to that person. What would the final thing be? What would your final message to them be? Maybe it would be, I love you. Maybe it would be, whatever it may be, I don't know what it might be. But it's interesting here that the last bit of this letter is about watching out. It says, watch out. It says, I urge you, brothers, watch out. I mean, those two words in itself are very important for us, to watch out. You know, we're living in this fallen world. We're saved by God's grace. We're going to heaven. We're covered in the blood of Jesus. If we've accepted him in our heart and repented of our sin, he's forgiven us and cleansed us, and we're righteous in his sight, and we're going to heaven, and that's done. We still live in this fallen world, though, and there's still battles going on. And if and when, you know, whenever we die and go to heaven, then our promotion is sorted and we're finally in perfect paradise. But until then, we're in a battle. We're on a battleground. And it's important to remember that. it's important to remember that although we are saved by grace, that we are still in a battle. Satan's still around. We know that the Bible says he's prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. I mean, this is the last thing that Paul says to the Romans, is watch out. Interesting. He says to watch out. Very, very interesting. I mean, this is, the picture I get when I read this is about us on a battlefield. And we know that the overall war has been won. There's a big war that's been going on, and the war has finally been won. The victory is ours, and that's happened on the cross of Jesus Christ when he died and rose from the dead, was resurrected, and we put our faith in the war's won. The war's won, going to heaven. That bit's settled. But for us in our little pocket of wherever we might be in that war, our little battle, you know, there's still some skirmishes and things going on. There's still some little enemy around that needs mopping up. It's like that. The war's sorted, but we still have to have our guard up. We still have to watch out for the devil. This is just a fact. And, you know, if you see a boxer boxing in a ring on a boxing match, he doesn't just throw punches. They have the guard up as well. They have the guard up. Because it would be stupid not to, because they know that there's punches coming the other way, and they have to have their guard up. I remember when I was in training for the army a long time ago when I was 16. I was in training for the parachute regiment. And one of the things that we had to do in this test week was this thing called milling. And it was like boxing, except a bit more, a bit less fun when you're involved in it yourself. And it was basically this thing that they make you do, where they put you in a ring for 1 minute. And when I say ring, I mean just four you know, gym benches in a square, with, you know, blokes sat in a square on those gym benches, so that if you're falling back, or when people fall back into the ropes, they just get pushed back out into the middle to take another beating. So that was the little ring. And they put you in this ring for 1 minute, and they put a head guard on you and boxing gloves and a gum shield, and just make you fight for a minute, to make you throw punches for 1 minute non-stop. And I remember they psych you up before it, you know. They proper go for it with the mind games and make you psych you up and get you aggressive. And they sort of train you to be aggressive, and they really go for it and try and psych you up. So beforehand, for about an hour or so, at least about an hour, they sit you opposite each other, and you're doing all this training and exercise and making you screaming and shouting all that, like loonies running around this gym, just trying to get your, you know, testosterone and your aggression up. And then they sit you opposite the person who you're going to supposed to be fighting in this ring, and they pair you up in weight, you know, how heavy you are. And I was really small, so I was with someone who was a bit heavier than me. And they pair you up opposite, and they're like, right, now look at each other and growl. So they make you look at each other, and they're trying to have this, just getting you really aggressive, you know, and you look at each other and start screaming, scream, calling you Joe. I don't know if any of you saw that series on the Paras, the 3-part series a few months ago. They call you Joe, everybody's called Joe. So they call you Joe, scream, Joe, scream! And everyone's like, yeah! And the guy opposite you is like, yeah! It's hilarious, you know, I mean, in the moment, it's really serious, you know, you're properly taking yourself seriously. That's the funny thing. Talking about it now, it's really, really funny, you know. But in the moment, you really mean it, you know. They convince you that you are, you know, some killing machine, and you're really aggressive, and you've got, so you're 100% behind it, you know, with everything. And the guy's doing the opposite, he's like, yeah. Really funny, but you just feel you're invincible, you know. They train you to believe that you are absolutely invincible, and, you know, a 16-year-old, you believe anything, what? So I believe that, you know, skinny little random 16-year-old with a shaved head thought I was, invincible. And they did a good job, you know, with the mind games, to be fair. But I thought I was invincible, and I really did. I thought, I'm so excited about this, you know. This is going to be awesome. I'm going to battle this guy. It's going to be so fun. He's going down. Because I was believed it. You know, believed in my own, you know, confidence. And and everything and believed everything that was, you know, that they'd said to do. And I just really believed in my own confidence, I guess. And then I got into that ring and he's like, yeah. And this, then you're opposite each other with the boxing gloves on and you've got your gum shield and you're still growling and grunting, screaming. and then the referee's in the middle and it's called milling. So he'll say, okay, stand by, mill. And when he puts his arms down and says mill, you're supposed to start throwing punches. So I just thought, this is going to be great. It's going to go down in one punch. It's going to be so easy. I'm just so confident, you know, in myself. There's just no opposition. There's no opposition to me. I mean, he's going down. And I was like so excited and raring to go and looking forward to this battle and looking forward to this fight, full of confidence, full of myself. Really just wasn't ready for any punches to come my way. I thought he's going to be on the floor before I even gets the chance. And I remember the hand coming down and I just remember going, ah! He said, mill! I remember thinking, ah! The next thing I knew, I was on my knee. The next thing I knew, I was on my knee. How did I get there? How did I get down here? And I was like, oh, you all right? You all right? It's like, yeah. But there was a problem, wasn't there? The problem was I was ready for the fight. I was ready to do the attacking and do the fighting. But I wasn't ready for the opposition. I wasn't ready to take any blows. My face wasn't prepared. I didn't believe there was any opposition. I was totally naive. I was totally naive to any punches coming my way. I was totally naive to any attack. I didn't believe that there was any, you know, enemy going to be punching me in the face. I just thought, this is all one way. And it's not entirely true, brothers and sisters. For us, in this world, this side of heaven, there is the enemy around. We don't glorify him. Of course, God's more powerful. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We don't have to fear him. But we do have to just watch out. We do have to have our guard up, so to speak, spiritually. And not be daft. And not be naive to this. I mean, knowing this is a big part of how we can have our guard up. Just being aware of it. Just being aware that the devil's real, that he will try to attack us in some way, shape, or form, is one of the ways that we can have our guard up. Just not being naive to that. You know, Christians should have soft hearts and a hard face. Jesus, it says of Jesus in Isaiah, with that he set his face like flint, that Jesus set his face like flint, like the hardest rock. And it says in Ezekiel that God made Ezekiel's forehead harder than the hardest rock. Brothers and sisters, Christians are soldiers. We're soldiers of God. We're soldiers in the kingdom of heaven. And like we've heard this morning, God's going to display his power through us. Through us. This is how God does it. He uses you and me to display his power through us. That's how he wants to do it. The God of peace will soon crush Satan. Yeah. Under your feet. And under my feet. He uses us to do it. It's not us. It's him working in us. But he uses us to do it. We should have a hard face. Brothers and sisters, Christians are soldiers. We need to have a hard face and a soft heart. That's Christianity. Our faces should be hard, but our hearts soft. We shouldn't be daft, we should be ready. After that, I got back up, just to finish the story, because it ends well. I got back up after that and I was ready then. I wasn't quite so confident in my own ability. I knew what I needed to. I still needed to throw some punches, big deal. But I also needed to have a hard face. I also needed to remember, I'm going to get hit as well. I'm going to get hit. In this life, brothers and sisters, you might take a hit. Just be ready for it. Being aware of this is part of the way you can have your guard up. So I just kept throwing the punches like normal, but I also braced myself. And I just got back up and I battered this guy all over the ring. And I still took some more punches and we broke each other's noses. There was blood everywhere. It was beautiful. But the point of the story is the spiritual battles that we face. It's obvious, you know, brothers and sisters, our battles aren't against flesh and blood. We don't fight like the world fights. We don't punch with our fists. The weapons we use are not the weapons of this world. We have power in the spiritual realm to pull down strongholds, and our fight is spiritual. Apply this stuff spiritually to your life with prayer and not being naive, being aware that the devil's around, that he wants to attack you. But God's bigger, and he wants to use you and me to smash the devil and to crush Satan under our feet. It says watch out. That's one thing. Watch out. Watch out for what? Well, those people that cause divisions. There's people that, in the same way that God can use Christians, as the enemy can use people as well. People that don't know Jesus can use people to cause divisions among us. You know, so watch out for that. What are we watching out for? We're on a battlefield and we have our rifles and we're pondering around. We don't have our guard down. You know, we've got the armor of God on, shield in one hand, sword in the other, and we're on the battlefield. This life is a life of watching out. It's a life of fighting. It's a battle. When we sleep on the battlefield. We're not back at rest in this life. Watch out for those that cause divisions. Brothers and sisters, there will be people that might cause divisions among us, among marriages, among families, and among our church. There might be. The devil might do it, but it says to watch out for them and watch out and look for the fruit, you know, look for the fruit. What's the fruit? That's another way of discerning what's what. Look for the fruit. What's the fruit of that situation or that person or that thing? What's the fruit of that in my heart towards my brothers and sisters? Is it causing good fruit in my local church? Is this situation or person causing good fruit in my marriage? Is it causing good fruit in my family? Is the fruit unity? Or is it not? Is it something else? And be aware of it. Watch out for those that cause divisions. Watch out for those that put obstacles in our way. Another translation, I think the NLT says, watch out for those that can upset your faith by, you know, doing things what's contrary to what you've been taught. And, you know, it's just a fact that people will, you know, the enemy will try and upset our faith. He'll try and put obstacles in our way to continue our walk with God. I mean, first of all, before we get saved, he doesn't want that to happen. So there's obstacles in the way there, isn't there? There's a story, you know, of Ryan Ard, who went to glory yesterday. Is that amazing? What a life, like Carl was saying, phenomenal. Ryan Ard Bonnke. And there's a story in his book where one time he was in Germany, he was doing a mission in this tent in his early days, and before he left for Africa. And there's this, and he preaches awesome gospel message. Loads of people get saved, and then there's this one girl that comes up to him towards the end of the meeting, and she comes up to him near the door of the exit and entrance of the tent. She wants to talk to Ryan Ard, but she's kind of like got one foot half out the door, like physically as well, right? She's like half in, half wanting God, half wanting to get saved and give a life to Jesus, but then half out into the world. And that's very true for many people. The devil does not want us, doesn't want you to get saved. If you're here this morning and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, if you're here this morning and you don't know that you're going to heaven when you die, if you're not absolutely confident that when death comes, as it will to everybody, that you're going to glory for eternity because of the blood of Jesus. If you've never repented of your sins and put your faith in Jesus, thanked him for dying on the cross, if you've never done those things, you can do them this morning. Make sure you do. But because the devil doesn't want you to make that decision, and he'll try and put obstacles in your way and up to that point, and particularly up to this point of salvation. And in this situation, in the story, this girl's half in and half out, physically and spiritually. And Ryan Ard comes up to her and he starts saying, "Oh, Fräulein, what's the problem? What's the problem?" And she says, "Well, I believe your message. I believe your message, you know." Interesting. I believe your message. You might believe the message of the gospel, You might believe, know the words of the Bible and believe it. Not enough to be saved. You have to put your faith in Jesus Christ. You've got to get in that. You've got to get in Jesus. You've got to get in the boat with your whole life and surrender everything. And he said, what's the problem? And she said, well, I believe everything you've said and I want to give my life to Jesus. And he sort of said, well, what's the problem? Let's do it. Let's pray. And she said, well, I can't because I've got, you know, my boyfriend at home, and he doesn't really believe in Jesus. And because he's saying, well, does your boyfriend love Jesus? And she says, no, my boyfriend doesn't love Jesus, but he's a really nice man. He's a really nice man. And Ryan just thinks, well, if your boyfriend doesn't love Jesus, wakey wakey, you've got the wrong boyfriend or girlfriend for whoever it may be. But it's true. The devil puts obstacles in our way. The truth is, if she'd have surrendered that relationship to God in whatever way she was going to do that, she could have received salvation. But she couldn't, because the devil put an obstacle in her way. I mean, how many times do we see or hear of new Christians that come and get saved and they get baptized and they're on fire and it's awesome, they come and testify, they're full of God. Yay! A couple of months later, oh, I've met someone. Oh. Are they a Christian? No. And then, surprise, surprise, sadly, a couple of weeks later, boomf. I mean, at least they've crossed the salvation period. But they might have had an awesome life that God wanted to... God has an awesome plan, an awesome life for every believer. But they might have missed out on that, or missed out on years of that. But if they'd have just surrendered that to the Lord, not being naive, being aware of the devil being around, wanting to attack them, having the guard up, watching out, not being naive, being aware of these things, then maybe things would be different. I mean, in God's grace, right, he can restore all the years the locusts have eaten. If you find yourself in a situation like this morning, and you feel like, you know what, I feel like I've wasted 20 years of my life, or I feel like I've wasted loads of my life doing the wrong thing with the wrong person, you know what, God's awesome. He's so kind. He's so full of love. His grace is real. And a promise in the Bible is that he can restore the years that the locusts have eaten. So be of good cheer this morning if that's you. Come back to Jesus. Repent of your past life and the way you've walked. And he'll restore the years the locusts have eaten. It's God awesome. It's absolutely awesome, isn't he? People will put obstacles in our way. Contrary to what we've been taught, you know, people try and upset our faith. Interesting words in that NLT. People try and upset your faith. I mean, it's interesting, isn't it, that if God tells you something, this is going to happen, or you get faith for something that's going to happen. Revival. Revival's coming. It is coming. But then how many tests and battles and seemingly looking like nothing's happening, seemingly getting worse, and seemingly the nation's going down, and seemingly things get smaller, seemingly. Brothers and sisters, don't see with the physical eyes. Believe what God said. Believe what God said. Revival's coming. What's coming for you? What promises has God given you for your life personally? Maybe he's promised you a husband or a wife or a certain job, whatever it may be. Promises God's given you over your kids. God's given, what are they? What's he said? What did he give you faith for? What does he want you to begin to believe again? And obstacles have come in our way, maybe, and over time we've just begin to take our eyes off God and see on the human level and believe what we see on the human level. We should always have our eyes above the clouds of this world, seeing Jesus, seeing and believing his words, no matter what things look like, you know. And getting rid of, you know, keeping away from people that upset our faith. You know, God might give you something to have faith for, and you believe in it's awesome, and then not too long after, it gets tested, doesn't it? It's right that it gets tested, actually. It's going to get tested. There's another something to remember and be aware of. Your faith will get tested. Remember that. God will give you some awesome vision or faith for something. and it's awesome. And you think, yeah, woohoo! And then over the next couple of weeks, it's going to be awesome. I'm going to meet my wife today. I'm full of boomf. For a couple of years or whatever it may be, of testing and purifying and sanctifying our motives and our heart behind that so that it doesn't become an idol until we're dead enough to surrender. Oh, like I did that time in the car at my lunch break one time several years ago. Lord, if you don't want me to ever get married, then so be it. I want to get married, but if you don't want me to, then do something. When take these desires away, but your will be done. Whatever. And then, walk into your wife that year. God does these things with our life. And to keep away from people that upset our faith. You know, I mean, just our faith for whatever it may be, faith for miracles, faith for healing. Remind you of that story of in the Gospels of when Jesus went to Jairus' daughter's house. And Jairus' daughter had died, right? I mean, she was dead. And there was a funeral parlor there. And everyone was weeping and wailing, it says. Weeping. Loads of commotion. Loads of them weeping. Imagine the noise. And there was funeral music playing. I mean, Jesus is full of faith for healing, obviously. God. He's going to raise someone from the dead. But he walks into that house and he sees just lack of faith for the raising of the dead because there's funeral music playing. That's not faith. There's people wailing. That's not faith for raising the dead. What does he say to them? Get out. He tells them all to get out. Unbelief. Get out. He gets out of the house, takes with him Peter, James, and John. Those his closest brothers that were full of faith, that knew he was going to heal, raise the dead. Goes in, says, little girl, get up. And this dead girl rises. It's awesome. It's God awesome. And keep away from unbelief and things that the enemy, you know, will try and give you lack of faith, pour in unbelief. Keep away from doubt in your own head. People that will pound you with, I mean, he doesn't say, interesting, Paul doesn't say, those people that try and cause divisions among you and that teach things bad that are going to cause disunity, he doesn't say, go and love them and be with them and share the good news with them and remember, be soft and gentle. There's times for that, but he doesn't say it in this situation. He says, keep away from those people. It's just what he says. It's what God, it's what the Bible says. Keep away from those people. And keep away from, fight that battle in your own mind. Like my dad was saying earlier, the mind is the battleground. Fight your own mind of unbelief. When unbelief comes in, oh, it doesn't look right if I was going to happen. Boomf. Punch back in God's power, in God's strength, with faith, and just resist it. It's the devil. Be aware of it. It's the enemy. Hello? He's real. Comes in spiritually, puts something in your mind. Oh, it doesn't look so good. Do. Get back. Get behind me, Satan, in the name of Jesus. Resist doubt. When doubt comes in, rebuke it. Resist it. Reject it. Resist unbelief. Resist lack of faith. Oh, I don't think that person will get healed. Actually, get behind me, Satan, you know. And resist and rebuke and fight back all these doubts from our mind as well. We're staying away from people that are clearly causing disunity. Keep away. Praise the Lord. Good morning. It says, such people are not serving Christ but their own desires. This is something to watch out for as well in ourself, I guess, is just make sure that we are serving Jesus and not our own thoughts, our own desires. I mean, it's so easy to have our own agenda, isn't it? To have our own agenda, to serve God's agenda, to go his way. Another story of Reinhard, when he was in the same kind of period of his life when he was in those early days preaching. He saw, he was doing a week's worth of preaching as a younger man in Germany before he went to Africa again. And he said he noticed, he was single at this point, he was looking for a wife. And he said he noticed over the course of the meetings, over the space of a week, he noticed a girl that he was really attracted to. And she seemed like a really godly woman. And apparently he says there was lots of people interested in her, and he wanted to try, and he said he tried to find a way to like get himself near her in situations and chat to her and things, and there was like a crowd of other guys around her. She was obviously quite popular, seemed like a very godly, awesome woman of God, and he tried to chat to her. But by this point, he'd already had his call from God to go to Africa, right? He already knew God's call in his life was to go to Africa and see Africa saved. He'd had a vision of a blood-washed Africa, the whole of Africa, saved in the blood of Jesus. And he'd already had this burning vision in his heart that he was going to do this. He had the call of God in his life. So the first question he said to this girl was, so, what would you do if God called you to Africa? And she said, Africa, there's no way I'd go to Africa. I don't want to leave Germany my whole life. And he said his desire for her died in that moment. His desire for her dropped in that moment. But how many times do we see things like this happen where, I mean, how easy would it have been in his own desires, in his own flesh, in his own doing it his own way? He's only a young man. Everyone's susceptible to making mistakes. How easy it would have been for him to just say, well, maybe in a few years she might come around. Maybe in a few years she'll, you know, come round to going to Africa with me. Maybe in 5 years, maybe in 10 years. Maybe, you know, maybe it wasn't really the Lord that I go to Africa. Maybe, you know, we'll go on a mission trip for a couple of weeks sometime in a few years together. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's what I saw. Maybe. Following his own desires. I mean, what a different story it would have been if he'd have went that way. Oh, maybe it's all right. Someone else can do it. Probably not that big of a deal anyway. Maybe it was just me. Nothing might have happened. The course of Ryan Add's ministry, 79 million people, over 79 million people give their lives to Jesus Christ. I mean, that might not have happened. I don't know. God would have probably sent someone else to do it. And then he would have been in married with his nice, happy little life in Germany. Wondering, what if? Brothers and sisters, serve Jesus Christ. Follow God's will for your life. Follow his plan for your life. Don't follow your own desires. Pray about everything. What should I do after I finish school? Should I go to college? Should I go to university? What university? This is what I feel like I want to do. But what do you say? Pray about it. Hear God and do what God says to do. People, it says, they deceive people with smooth talk and flattery. So let's be people that don't have smooth talk and flattery. We're not salesmen, we're Christians. The Bible says, Jesus says, simply, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything beyond that comes from the evil one. So we'd just be truthful, be honest, be simple, say things as they are, be clear. Don't lie. Let our yes be yes and our no be no. Amen. Let's stand. We'll have some prayer. Why don't we close our eyes and just focus on Jesus this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you love us, Lord. We thank you for your plan for our life. We thank you that you want to crush Satan under our feet. Lord, right now, whatever you've spoken to us about this morning, we just ask that you would give us the strength, Lord, to move upon it and act upon it and remember these things, Lord, and do these things and fight this spiritual battle and pray about all things. I pray, Lord, right now that you would speak to people's hearts and give them a vision of what you've got for their life. If you don't know what to do, don't just go ahead and do anything. Wait for the Lord. Don't just get carried along with the current of this world. Must do this, must do that. That's what everyone does. Don't do that. Stop and wait and pray and listen to the Lord. He might have that for you. That's awesome. He might have something else. But we're to follow his will. Follow his plan for our life. Because his plan is always the best plan. His way is always the best way. And every day you can walk in his will. It's not just a season thing where God's give me this job now. See you in 5 years, Lord, when that job ends. It's every day, it's daily. Let Jesus be your daily bread and hear from him every day and walk in his ways every day and pray, talk to your Father in heaven every day. Let him speak to you through the Bible every day. You don't have to read chapters and chapters and get hyper spiritual. Just little and often, like water, like food. Hear the love of your Father every day and walk in his will. Sometimes it might be just having a day off and playing with your kids. Sometimes it might be having a day of prayer. Sometimes it might be a few weeks or a few months of just praying and waiting and seeking the Lord. That's okay. But watch out for those that will try and pull us away from Jesus. Watch out for the enemy who prowls around. Don't let him distract your life from this awesome, awesome life that God has for you. God has a phenomenal plan and a phenomenal life beyond what you could ever hope for. Believe that. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. If you follow Jesus, no need to fear. He has the best life ever for you. It won't do any harm waiting a few days or a few weeks to hear him and do the right thing if need be. Lord, I pray for everyone here that you'd fill us with your power, that you'd fill us with your strength. Thank you for what's happening spiritually, Lord, amongst us now. Thank you that you're filling us, Lord, with power. Thank you that, Lord, that we're lifting up our shield and our sword. I pray, Lord, every day that we lift up our shield of faith and our sword of the Spirit to fight these spiritual battles, to win people for Jesus Christ, to protect, Lord, the church, to protect our families and our minds from those that would cause division. Help us to see. Open our eyes, Lord, to spiritual things. Open our eyes to the truths of you. And thank you, Father, that you are with us, and greater is he that is in the world, greater is he that is in you and me than he that is in the world. Thank you, Father, that the God of peace will soon crush Satan under our feet. Thank you, Lord, would you give us peace this morning? Where you feel stress, give peace in the name of Jesus. Flow through everyone now, Lord, with that peace and love. And I thank you, Lord, on our journey, we can just trample Satan through knowing these things and fighting back.